Well, once again, welcome. I am a grateful believer in Jesus, finding victory over my addiction to alcohol, working on a slew of other things, because that's what we do here. And my name is Jack. And we want to continue on in our, if you are new, each week we typically either have a teaching from the core curriculum that makes up this program, 26 lessons. We just started or restarted the teaching series a few weeks ago. So we're on lesson number 3. So if you're coming in to CR for the first time, you're coming in at a great time because you're kind of coming in at the ground level. But I always say that it doesn't matter where you come into these teachings, there is something for you wherever you are. And that's for those of us that have maybe heard these teachings a few times in our years or decades here. And so it doesn't matter when you come in, but it's kind of nice to, you know, to kind of catch us on the earlier part of the teaching series. On the weeks we don't have a teaching, we have a testimony. And so last week, Brian Marty shared his testimony. And I believe Bridget is making her triumphant return next week for her testimony. And so that's the way we roll around here, teaching testimony. And occasionally we throw in some spicy things like mini-monies or a special teaching or things like that. But for the most part, that's what we get here. I talked about that routine and that consistency. So tonight, as I mentioned, is the third in our lessons. It is called the Hope Lesson. And tonight I want to both encourage and to challenge. If you are in a season of life where you don't feel a lot of hope, then I want to encourage you to hear what God has for you in this lesson, hear where hope can come from, should come from, and does come from, and hopefully rest in that. And so this, for some of you tonight, it may be discovering, rediscovering, connecting, reconnecting with hope. Others of you, I want to challenge you to be the spreaders of hope. I want hope to drip off you. I want you to be a contagion of hope out in the world. I want you to show people what hope looks like, what hope talks like, what hope lives like. And so that's, you know, take out of this lesson, how do I go out and do that? How do I go out and show the world the hope that that I have? As with all of our lessons, we ground them in a principle and a step. We're in principle 2 and step 2 tonight. And so let me just read principle 2. Earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. In the Beatitude, happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And in step 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And we're gonna kind of focus a little bit more on that step later on in the teaching. And so just to bring everybody up to speed, depending on whether they're a regular here and maybe miss some weeks of the teaching series startup or just brand new, we start the series and they start this whole process off with the denial lesson, because we have to get out of denial in order to recover. You cannot do both, okay? Denial is where we begin to bring the hurts and the hang-ups and the habits in our lives out into the light. Because once again, if they're in the dark, they're not going to be with God, because we know that God is light, okay? 1 John, I think, tells us that. And we know that he's not going to be available, his power, which we're going to talk a lot about tonight, not available for us in that darkness. So we need to get those out in the light. So we start with denial, where we say, okay, here's our baseline. It's time to stop stuffing things and putting things aside. We need to bring it out into the open. And then just a few weeks ago, Daniel taught the powerless lesson, because the next thing that's crucial to happen in this, and to kick this recovery journey off correctly, is we need to acknowledge that quick fixes, that behavior modification, that trying harder, all those things don't work. In other words, when we start taking the power and trying to control, we oftentimes end up walking through the doors of a recovery ministry. And I'm awfully glad you did, okay? I'm awfully glad I did, but it's the idea of we need to turn over the power to God. We need to really get a grasp of just how powerless we are and allow God to be in control instead of us, you know, in control. And so I kind of look at denial is a light bulb, powerless is the light switch. Neither one does you much good without the other. And so we start with those two married in principle one, okay? And we've got to have both in order to be living, to shed light in the light of recovery. Because, as I said, we need to consistently bring or keep those hang-ups and those hurts and those habits in the light so that we may be healed by God's power. So once again, we need God's power for that healing. He's not in the darkness. He can't be because he's light. And so we need that power. We need the power of his pursuit. We need the power of his mercy. We need the power of his forgiveness. We need the power of his love. We need the power of his son, Jesus Christ, the one and the only true higher power. And that's where we start our acrostic tonight. For those of you that are also new tonight, we oftentimes in our teachings take a word. Tonight's word is hope. You've got that hopefully in the handouts out there. It looks like this type of thing. And we take and attach some meaning to each letter of that. And the H in higher power H in hope stands for higher power. There we go. I can do this. The H tonight, if you're doing your fill-ins, for H, higher power. And being that this is a Christ-centered recovery ministry, we claim one higher power, Jesus Christ. Other secular recovery programs, we'll kind of let you name your higher power. That's cool too, but just not here. Here we go for the highest. We go for right to the top. No middlemen. We go right to Jesus. Romans 11:36, I can read, puts it this way. It says, everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power. Pretty inclusive there, okay? You know, if you read the Bible with a modicum of openness, because I get that, I hear people all the time talking about Christianity being closed-minded. You know, God is the most inclusive, higher power out there. Everything comes from him. Everything lives by his power. But this is not some distant power that's wielded out from on high. Jesus desires a hands-on, day-to-day, moment-by-moment relationship with us. Okay, this is not just about how powerful he is. This is about harnessing the power he has, the power of that love for us, the power of that mercy, the power of that grace, the power of that forgiveness that he has for us. He pursues us. Okay, we don't have to go looking for him. A lot of us do, but he's right there. Okay, he's looking for that relationship with us. In other words, Jesus is right here, right now, always. And if you don't process that, you need to. Okay, know that Jesus is right here, right now, always. So the H is for higher power. The O in hope stands for openness to change. At the beginning of step two, it starts, we came to believe. In other words, our openness to change is a process. We came to believe, not just we believed, we came to believe. That indicates a process that maybe would include consideration, would maybe include some doubt or questioning, maybe would include some reasoning, kind of going logical on yourself there if you can, and then finally, concluding. Okay, and so wherever you are in your faith journey, maybe you're still processing through this Jesus guy. That's fine. I think I've shared many times, when I walked through the door, I was not a believer. I was very much in the stage of coming to believe, but I wasn't there yet. You know, in my life, this looked like this idea of consideration was all of a sudden I started feeling in my heart the pursuit of Jesus. And that was weird for an atheist, as you can imagine. but I couldn't deny it. I mean, I tried initially to deny it and then outdrink it and all that kind of stuff, but eventually it became so strong that I couldn't deny it without going further into denial and stupidity and delusion and all that. And the doubt and the questioning all came from my former life of an atheist and evolutionist and just, you know, trying to want to argue, you know, type thing. But then as I started to really question some of the bigger things in the world, and I think perhaps becoming a dad, you know, kind of helped with this. Drinking myself to near death probably kind of helped with this. But I started thinking about, you know, how come I am an atheist, and yet I have an innate sense when something is wrong. If I see, let's say, a small child being pummeled by an adult in the parking lot of Safeway, in my heart, in my core, that's wrong. I just know that. I don't have to refer to the manual. Let's see, kid, parent beating or somebody beat. No, I just know it. I feel it. Where does that come from? That, you know, my worldview at the time couldn't explain that. The science couldn't explain that. You may have all gone through that exercise at some point in time in your schooling when you say, define love, and you start trying to get your mind around love, you know. We start looking at things that we do to show love maybe, but what love? Where does that come from? Where does that feeling, if you've been in love, if you are in love, if you have kids and love them, there's a feeling there that's indefinable. Where does that come from? And is it a surprise that our God is loving, and why that wouldn't come through to us? And so as I started considering those type of questions, reasoning through those, God and his story in the Bible suddenly, although it was over a period of time, made the most sense. It explained everything. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. I guess I probably should go that way, you know, and so that was my conclusion. So that's the idea of, you know, this process that we're going. So being open to the change, is going to move you from bitter to better. Okay. In Ephesians 4:23, Paul says, "Now your attitudes and your thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. You must be a new and different person." So open to change. The P in hope starts the word power, the power to change. We need to tap into the power to change. This means tapping into God's power, not Jack's power. Philippians 4:13 says, "For I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power." And so we go from a mindset, and there's nothing wrong with encouraging people. I mean, I've encouraged my kids in a similar manner, with this idea of, hey, you can do anything you put your mind to. But as we get into adulthood, and that turns into control and manipulation, and I got this, and I don't need any help, and I don't need a community, and I'm a lone ranger. That's not the power we're talking about here. So we go from I can do anything I put my mind to. I can do anything that God wants me to do. And so we're deferring always to God. That's how we tap into that power, deferring to him. What would he do? What does he want us to do? And knowing that he is the highest power, he has unlimited resources to help us accomplish whatever it is that he wants us to do. And so And in that, there you should find a fair amount of hope, especially if you are working to align your life with his word, his way of doing things. So the power to change, tapping into God's power, not our own. Now you'll notice we had open to change, power to change, and as we move into the E, our final letter in the acrostic tonight, the E stands for expect to change. Expect to change. And so even someone as fairly thick-headed as me, if I see change three times, I'm thinking there's something to change and hope. Okay? And I think it kind of centers in that many times when we get ourselves into a season where we are feeling hopeless, it may be because we have resisted change. I know in my life, I resisted some simple changes, like how about not drinking? Because there was all this wreckage that was occurring in my life. I was unwilling to make some of those changes in my life, and I ended up in a hopeless state. And those of you that struggle with substance addiction know it's not as simple as, well, you just stop. That ultimately is right. That's true. Okay. But there's a process, there's work, there's a lot that goes into that. But I just refuse to make those changes. And so, you know, and I think back, gosh, what was it, 2000? Just after 2000, when Barack Obama ran for presidency, one of those taglines was hope and change. And that resonated with people. And it resonated with people because I think we're wired by our Creator to be hopeful beings, to be joyful beings, to be any number of things that God created us to be, and then we kind of messed it up out there. But I think that resonated, whether he realized it or not, or went after it that way, that as we get into a rut, as we get into a hopeless state, we start craving something different. And oftentimes that change is for change's sake. And the change that we're talking about in this teaching tonight is not that. It's targeted and centered around, the higher power, Jesus Christ. So expect to change is our final letter. You know, why should you expect to change? That's a great question. Why should you expect to change? Well, one, because God says so. That's a pretty good reason for me. If you look throughout Scripture, you will find countless examples of God's power changing people. Ephesians 6:9, I don't think this is in our slides, I just came across this because I wanted to kind of make this point with you tonight. It says, Paul writes in Ephesians, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Meaning, if you look at Scripture, and you look at the people that God changed in Scripture, and you know from just then, and there's many other scriptures that talk about God's impartiality, you know that he's going to treat those people the same as you, then you should expect to be changed by God as well. That would kind of follow logically. In other words, if he can change Paul from a persecutor of Christians to the author of almost half of the New Testament, then he can change you. He can do that. If he can change David, King David, from a murdering adulterer into a guy that is a man after God's own heart, selected, handpicked by God, well, then he can change you. Okay? Don't think that it's just for those people in Scripture. Don't think that doesn't pertain to you. Expect to change. A number of years ago, we had a men's breakfast in this room here, and the one of the pastors invited a former Oregon Duck player, and I know he went on to play for the Green Bay Packers, Josh Bidwell. He was a kicker. And Josh had a great testimony that involved cancer and just a life of faith, and just how he came to be playing for the Ducks, playing for the Green Bay Packers, some great Brett Favre stories, all that kind of stuff. But he defined in his message that morning his definition of biblical hope, which I wrote down here. He wrote, he said, it's the absolute expectation of coming good. And that resonated with me, and I go back to that definition, because we can sometimes either belittle hope, and we can turn it in, or we treat it like it's a wish, and hope is not a wish. Okay, find a wish, but it's not hope. And so I just like that, and it kind of ties into this expected change. It's the absolute certainty, expectation of coming good. And for those of us who are followers of Christ, we know, I say this all the time, we know the end from the beginning. We know how it's ultimately going to end up. And we should be hopeful. We should take the time we have here in our life to be, as they say, contagions of hope, rather than getting that label. You know, I run into this from time to time. My friends that are non-believers like to say, well, how come you Christians always get so sad when somebody dies? Aren't they going to where you're supposed to go? I say, yes, they are, and you're right. We should be. I understand mourning. We understand loss. We're sad because of that. But there is, and there should be, a joy because we know where that person is going. We know that we're going there as well. And so as we walk around with more of an eternal mindset, I think that helps us in being purveyors of hope. So there's our acrostic tonight. As I mentioned, H, higher power. O, openness to change. And that one's, I think that one's a big one, for at least for me. I'm stubborn. It's my way. I know best. I've got pride up to here. My if you ask my daughters, what's the number one thing that the dad needs to work on or hasn't done or ever, they'll exaggerate because they're your daughters. He doesn't say, I'm sorry. He doesn't say, I'm sorry. And I probably haven't said, I'm sorry, as often as I should, because I'm not open to that change. That's a character defect of mine. So being open to change. O, the P, tapping into the power to change. Not wielding power ourselves, not using our power, but tapping into God's power to change. And then to be expectant of that change. And that's another great reason to continue to keep coming back to this ministry, because you will see people either over time yourself, and you'll see the change in them. And that's exciting. And you should expect, if you're here and it's your first night, or you've got 30 days of, let's say, sobriety, and there's guys in this room with 30 years of sobriety, that should be hopeful to you. Not, oh my gosh, I'll never get there. That's a lot of one days at a time, and that's the only way they did it. Okay, they didn't get to jump over like 4 months at a time. They had to do it one day at a time, just like everybody has done getting sober since people have been getting sober. And so you should find that, you know, in encouraging as well. So let me close in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for being the hope of this world. Thank you for being the hope in our lives. Thank you for being a hope that is above all distractions, above all man-caused, man-made, man-mistakes. A hope that if we focus on you, your love and your power, your mercy, your grace, we focus on what you have done for us, that we do not need to be ashamed, that actually in your eyes we should expect to change, because in your eyes we already have. Your son's blood covers us. You see us as righteousness. You see us in a way that at least for me, I can't possibly imagine myself, because it's like I'm inside myself. I go, that's no way. But I know, because of what your son did, how you see me. I know that in my mind. I just got to get that in my heart. And Lord, I ask that you help all of us get that into our heart as we come to you, as we continue to come back to you, as we turn things over to you, as we tap into your power. Lord, give us the strength to be open to change. Give us the strength to run to you. Give us the strength to ask, you know, to realign our lives with you first, and then let everything else kind of fall where it may. Lord, I ask that you protect our hearts as we go out into this world, a world that may not share the hope. But you protect our hearts and give us boldness. Not cockiness, not condescension, not looking down, not being better. We are the broken ones. We know it. We should act like it, but we should also know why it's okay to say that boldly and to encourage others to whether it's to come into this ministry or to come and to know you. Because I believe this world, Lord, is lacking hope. And it's up to us to spread and to do what we can. You made us the plan for carrying on your ministry, and we need to carry that through. And I ask that you just give us the power to do that. I pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen.